Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey, before we get started, I want to give a real quick shout out to the Lane Frost brand. LaneFrostBrand.com is where you can find them. This company is family-owned, operated. They're carrying on the legacy of the late, great, world champion bull rider Lane Frost. And man, I tell you what, they got some swag out for the summer. So you need a new hat, t-shirt, sunglasses, you name it, go over to LaneFrostBrand.com. You can check it out. Right now, they're running a special. If you purchase $60 or more, you also get a free hat with that. The hat's sick. It's red, white, and blue, man, just in time for 4th of July. So, again, LaneFrostBrand.com. Go over and check them out for all of your apparel needs. All right, man. Well, I'm pumped today. I have one of my good friends, Tanner Gardner. I've known Tanner for a number of years. I actually had the pleasure of coaching Tanner at one point. So, let me go through real quick and give you a list. And this is just a short modified list of some of his accomplishments. But Tanner is currently a senior athletic director, associate athletic director, and COO for Rice University. He was a three-time All-American for Stanford University, and that in and of itself is huge. He was named to the Pac-12 All-Century team for that conference. Tanner is a couple-time state champion for Shawnee Heights High School, where I coach. Like I said, I had the pleasure of working with them and getting to coach them. And then beyond just the things he's done in the wrestling world, which, like I said, we could go on for a long time with that, but he has degrees from Stanford University, from Harvard University. I often brag on Tanner and I say, like, hey, you know, it took me, I was on like a 6-year plan to get my bachelor's. Tanner had his, you know, had his bachelor's in like 3.5 years and his master's in 5 years and wasn't enough. So he had to, you know, say, hey, let me go try out an Ivy League school. And anyway, super intelligent. Oh yeah. And he's an accomplished pianist. List goes on. So Tanner, man, thanks for being on here.
Coach Parks, it's good to be with you today. If you can believe it, we've known each other for over 20 years. So it's fun that here we are today.
Yeah, that's crazy to think back. It's been 20 years. That's absolutely amazing because in my mind, I still see, I see you as a man now, but I can still see like it was yesterday, the first time we met, and you're this young, energetic wrestler, little guy running around and jumping on all the big guys' backs. And I'm a small little wrestler myself, and I get it, you know, 100%. So yeah,
yeah, those were the good old days when the wrestling room was in the at that time it's called the 1112 building, the right off the locker room, and the kind of, I guess that's the south side of the building.
Yep. Yeah, little old wrestling room back in the day. And our wrestling room is not huge now, but we get it year round, so that's exceptional. That's good for us. But so Tanner, I want to start right here. You come from like a really good family, man. I've known your mom and dad as long as I've known you. Wonderful people. Everyone in your family are just what I would consider to be high achievers. All right. So just tell me a little bit about your family and maybe the dynamics of growing up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly blessed with great parents. When I was a teenager, I might not have said the same thing, but instead I certainly realized that. I mean, you know, I was raised in a good home where, you know, we valued excellence, and, you know, I think in everything that we did, that's what my parents demanded. And they would do it in a way where they would help us achieve that excellence. So from the time that I was young, we were called as a family to be excellent in the things that we did. And if we were to decide to do something, then something worth doing is something worth deciding to be excellent in. And so, you know, people probably think my parents are, a little bit obscure in this way, although I don't think so now. And, you know, from the time that we were 5, 6, 7 years old, they called us in that same way. So whether it was in piano or doing triathlons or in our homework, from early in life, I was, you know, felt like if you're going to do something, you might as well do it well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and, you know, knowing both your parents, they don't just ask for that standard amongst, you know, their children. Like they literally live that out themselves. So I still see your mom, you know, out doing her walks and jogs, and you guys are a really fit and athletic family too. And You know, I'm looking at Tanner right now. This is just going to be my podcast, but Tanner is still like 3% body fat. And you know, just that's how the entire family is, right? So now let's go ahead and kind of, because I know the story. I think it's a funny story, but wrestling's been a huge part of your life. Tell me how you very first got into wrestling, how you discovered it.
Well, it was in an unconventional way, that's for sure. You know, I think like any middle school boy, I wanted to do the things that were cool to do. And if I'm being honest, at that time, that was not wrestling. And so, you know, my friends and the cool kids were always playing basketball or baseball or football. And so when I was in middle school, I was convinced that I was going to make the basketball team. The only issue was that I was 4'10 and 65 pounds. And there were 50 other people trying out or so for not a lot of spots. And unfortunately, I did not make the basketball team in seventh grade, which was heartbreaking to me. But I guess it was rather fortuitous because the middle school PE teacher at that time was none other than Coach Bob Gonzalez. And Gons, you know, put his arm around the crying seventh grade boy and said, well, you should come out for the middle school wrestling team. And my older brother had wrestled, and I'd probably mixed it up a little bit with him prior to that. And so, hey, it was something that I could do. And, you know, that's how I picked up wrestling. And, you know, I think the thing I love about the sport of wrestling is it's indiscriminate to who you are. So you could be big, you could be small, you could be strong, you could be weak, you could be great technically, you could be poor technically. But I think for any of those people, even if that's your starting point, there's a place for you in wrestling. I was, you know, talking to a former Stanford wrestler earlier today, and we talked about exactly that wrestling's one of those unique sports where there is no barriers to entry. And for me, I'm fortunate that that was the case and that, you know, I ultimately got into wrestling in seventh grade.
Yeah. And, you know, for a lot of wrestlers and, you know, as a guy who's been around wrestling my whole life and coached for a number of years, you don't see a lot of smaller wrestlers that start that late that end up being as good as you did or as good as you are. I can take a bigger guy, a big football player, and start them as a freshman and have them placing a state by the time they're junior or senior. But for the lower weight classes, that is not typical. So whenever you jumped in as a seventh grader and began, what was your jump? I mean, was it tough? Did you feel like you were behind a little bit? And then how did you catch up and get good so quick, man? Because by the time you were in high school, you were already right there mixing up with the best guys.
Well, I mean, I think wrestling's a unique sport in that it's probably one of the few sports where what you put in is what you get out. That doesn't mean if you work hard, you're going to be greatly successful. But I think those people who work the hardest will generally be successful. What that success looks like for you, it widely varies. But, you know, that really fit my upbringing well. And that, you know, if you're going to do something, you might as well do it excellently. And, you know, I tried that in basketball, but I had barriers. It was a team sport. I was small. But in wrestling, you know, I was wrestling people in my weight class, and, you know, it was up to me how hard I worked. It was up to me how much conditioning I did. It was up to me how much technique work that I did. It was up to me how much I practiced. And, it, you know, if you're in a sport where what you put in is what you get out, then, you know, that's really what ultimately helped me grow in the sport. And, you know, I decided that, you know, hey, I'm going to be good at this sport. And so, you know, I'm not necessarily an unusually athletic person. But I am an extremely hard worker, and I think that benefited me. And so, you know, as I had more success, that kind of motivated me to work even harder. And I think I really got into this virtuous cycle, that helped me continue to excel. And, you know, I had some good breaks along the way. You know, I had parents who would do anything to help me be successful. Mostly from a time perspective, if I wanted to go to practice, to take me to practice, that practice was 5 minutes away, then we would go 5 minutes away. If that practice was an hour away, then we would go an hour away. And so, you know, it's not lost on me that not everyone has that opportunity. So, you know, I think some of my success was driven, you know, by the sacrifice of my parents. Nevertheless, it was always on my initiative that those things happen, not on their initiative. And so, I had some things break my way. You know, I met someone who had a personal trainer and was looking for a wrestling partner, and they invited me to do that. So I went and practiced with them and kind of got lucky. And but, you know, I think it was just taking advantage of the opportunities that were put in front of me and really taking advantage of, you know, the blessing that my parents were to me. And all that kind of culminated in a rapid acceleration of my success.
Yeah. And for those listening, I mean, I can tell you firsthand, you know, Tanner talked about hard work, and this is something I still talk to my athletes and my wrestlers about today. You know, so Tanner, of course, wrestled for Shawnee Heights High School, wrestled for Coach Gonzalez. I came in students hot for Shawnee Heights, ended up coaching at another school for a while, but still had the opportunity to work with Tanner kind of behind the scenes and got to see all the things that Tanner is doing, you know. So in the off season, I mean, you were going to Kansas City and wrestling with the East Kansas Wrestling Club, which was very elite at that time. You know, you would go up to Ken Chartow, go up to his camps and work those and work out at those and train and, you know, a number of things. But the main story that I often tell my wrestlers is this. I say, I think it was after your junior year, you'd won state. And so you won state on a Saturday. It's a Sunday, and I get a phone call, and it's Tanner on the line, and you said, hey, coach, can you come over to my house and work out? And I'm like, what? And you're like, yeah, can you come over and wrestle? And I was like, dude, you just won state last night. I take a day off. And you're like, no, coach, we have the Wichita Classic, which was like a kids club tournament the next weekend. But you were ready to jump right back in. You were ready to go. You know, so that's something I talk to people about. Not that rest days aren't important, but man, your work ethic and your drive was second to none and allowed you to jump in there. Like you said, success looks different for different people, but the literal criteria that we can look and see is you won a couple of state titles and that hard work went, you know, right into that. So now, out of all the schools there are in the nation, how did you end up at Stanford?
Well, I mean, I think once again, it was a little bit of luck and a little bit of hard work. You know, I made the sacrifice to drive to Kansas City to go to East Kansas Wrestling Club, you know, often after high school wrestling practice. So I was going two times a week, and there was an individual from my wrestling club, or a couple of them actually, who had gone to Stanford before. And so I think after I won state my junior year and had some success in freestyle and Greco-Roman, you know, I was put on the radar of Stanford and a few other schools by some of those guys at East Kansas who wrestled for their respective schools. It's a good student always. That's something that was really important to me and that my parents always emphasized. And, you know, I got a letter from Stanford sometime after my junior year. And I think I kind of thought to myself, man, Stanford, I think I've heard of them, but I think that's a pretty good school. And, you know, it really had never crossed my mind that wrestling would be an avenue for me to go to a great educational institution. And so when I got that letter, it kind of struck me that, wow, this really has the opportunity to take me to a place that, you know, I never could have been. And, you know, I certainly was a good wrestler in high school, but I wasn't being recruited by Oklahoma State or Iowa or, you know, Penn State at that time because I was a good wrestler, but I was certainly not a blue chip wrestler. And so the way that I looked at it is, hey, if wrestling's a sport where you can determine your own success, then it should matter where I go. So why not take advantage of getting the best education? And so, you know, I had some, not a lot of offers, but offers from Columbia, Stanford, University of Missouri, and maybe Brown. And I took a couple recruiting trips and ultimately decided that Stanford would be the best fit for me. I think, you know, it was probably 40 degrees when I left in late October to go to California, and I landed and it was 72 and sunny. That was the first time I'd ever been to California in my life, actually, when I was 17 years old. And I thought, well, this would be a pretty good place to go to college no matter what. So if they make me an offer and I get in, then I'm going. And I did.
Yeah, nice. Very good. And you got to wrestle for the legendary coach, Kerry McCoy. So I just had him on the podcast last week.
Course. Yeah, it's great. Great podcast. I listened to it. I really enjoyed that. Kerry's a great man of faith, someone who I respect quite a bit and has had much more success than me.
Yeah, he's when he lists out all the things he's done in the sport of wrestling, is pretty amazing, you know. And then what he's getting to do now, you know, out of the California RTC, and hopefully that gets rolling in a big way. But so while you were at Stanford, because wrestling in college is, you know, now we have MMA, and then you have, of course, Olympic level guys, which is a very you know, so to become a college All-American, it's like a 0.004% chance. And then to make the Olympic ladder and the Olympic team is, you know, so minute. So really, like, college wrestling is almost like the pro version of what we have, because there is no professional version for wrestling. So whenever you wrestled at Stanford and became a three-time All-American and winning Pac-12 titles and all those things, what are a couple of the lessons that you learned then and then maybe looking back that apply to your life right now to help you as a husband, to help you as a father, and then help you there at Rice University?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. And I mean, I think some of these were lessons that my parents taught me that were refined at Stanford. And some of these lessons were things I learned at Stanford. I mean, certainly let's go back to the topic of hard work. I mean, that, you know, if that was true in high school, then it was even more true in college. You know, I whether it was a coach who said it or what, you know, I think if you do the same things as everyone else, and how do you expect to get any better? And so I apply that to my life today. If you come and you work 8 to 5 and you want to be the best person in your profession, then you're probably not going to excel beyond that unless you're some sort of genius. But if you, you know, work a couple extra hours a day, well, you know, four extra days of 2 hours extra work add up to an extra day. And those things matter. I think, you know, time isn't the only thing that'll make you better. You have to work harder. You have to work smarter. But, you know, I think there's no substitute for hard work. And so I think that was really reemphasized in college. I think the second is that discipline's important. I mean, I think Coach McCoy always used to say to us, you know, there are three things in college that you can choose to do. He generalized things. You know, one is academics, two is social life, and three is your sport. And he said, and you can really only be good at two of those things. And so you have to choose which two you're going to be good at. And so, you know, if you want to be a great student, you want to be a good wrestler, we're going to have to sacrifice your social life. And you're going to have to make trade-offs and be disciplined to do that. And so, you know, that's a sacrifice that I chose to make. And I'm really glad that I made it. It's not to say I didn't have any social life, but I lived a very disciplined life. I woke up early. I worked out. I lived my life right. I ate right. You know, I went to class, studied, and I went to bed early. And that's what I did for, you know, during the season for 5 years. And it paid off. But that's the type of discipline that I still implement in my life today. I get up at between 5 and 6. I exercise. I, you know, read the Bible, read the newspaper, drink my coffee, get my kids up, go to work, and put them to bed and do a little more work and go to bed. You know, is there sacrifice in that? Could I be watching TV shows, you know, going to spend time with my friends? Yeah, I could do that. But, you know, I've decided what's most important to me, and that's, you know, my faith, my family, and my job. And so those are the things that I focus my time on. And so that discipline matters today. So, you know, I think hard work, I think discipline. And then I think a nuanced lesson that this is, on one hand, sports specific, but also I think it can be generalized to work, and that, you know, even in individual sports, the team matters. You know, on one hand, wrestling, what you put in is what you get out. But I think there's a lot of synergy that comes in being on a team. And I think I really discovered that at Stanford, particularly my fifth year, in that, you know, we placed the highest we'd ever placed as a team at the Pac-12 tournament. And it was really because we all came together as a team, motivated each other. And on one hand, we were all focused on our individual successes. But on the other hand, that also benefited our team success too. And so I think even in individual sports or individual jobs, you know, you can be individually successful while also helping the team be successful. And those things are actually mutually beneficial, and they don't work against each other.
Yeah. Nice. Excellent. So I'm going to make sure I send this to all my wrestlers so they hear these things that allowed you to achieve success in wrestling, and again, apply on a broader platform. So right now, you know, jumping forward to there at Rice University, tell me, how did you get to Rice? And then explain a little bit about what you do on your job.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'm at Rice, and I work in college athletics because I feel like the Lord called me to be here, and it sounds a little bit fantastical, but, you know, I had a very transformational experience at Stanford, academically, athletically, and also spiritually, came to know the Lord in a different way. And, you know, when I left college, I left, kind of came in as a boy, left as a man. You know, wanted to go be very successful in business, make a lot of money, and give back to Stanford Wrestling to help support, you know, other people to have the same experience as me. As I got into my profession, within a year, kind of felt a calling from the Lord that instead of making money and giving it back, my calling was to go work in college athletics specifically. And so it took me, you know, 4 to 5 years to get there, but felt a calling that, you know, I could use my talents and time to be a college athletics administrator and hopefully create opportunities for other people to have a similar experience to what I did. And so, you know, not only deciding that college athletics is where I should work, but even getting to Rice, I think all very God ordained, and felt like I was called specifically here. Had you know, been introduced to my now boss by a former mentor of mine, Bob Bowlesby, who is now the commissioner of the Big 12. Great great supporter of the sport of wrestling. And my wife's from Houston. My boss got the job as the AD in Houston at Rice, and I knew him. And so it was really a, you know, a unique series of circumstances that got me here. But really, my wife and I really felt like this is where we were supposed to come in 2014. And 6 years later, that hasn't changed. You know, I think at Rice, I have a, you know, it's nice that I get to combine kind of my business acumen that I learned, you know, through my early career with a passion for college athletics, a passion for kind of mentorship and changing the lives of 18 to 23 year olds. My job isn't necessarily student athlete focused. I'm in charge of the business of our organization. So, you know, really any way we spend money or make money outside of fundraising is within my purview. And I have a great team of 20 to 25 people who work on those things together with me. And then I also am the sport administrator for the sports of golf and volleyball, which allows me some more student athlete interaction. So, well, on one hand, I'm kind of disconnected from the student athlete experience. I do have these unique touch points, but at the end of the day, I think what's important to me is that my profession is, you know, I'm working for an organization that is one in which I believe in the mission. And so that's really important for me in what I do. You know, Rice values academics and athletics, and that's really my philosophy on college athletics. So I'm not interested in working for any college necessarily, unless I'm called elsewhere. But you know, I'm really interested in, once again, back to the point of excellence where we started, I want to work for a university that strives for excellence in everything they do. And I feel like Rice really does that in how they approach it.
Good. That's awesome. So, you know, I want this podcast to be mostly featuring Tanner Gardner, right? And then the lessons we can learn from you, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, you know, because you are a integral part of Stanford University, their history, and, you know, their wrestling program. They just dropped their wrestling program, right? So I think dropped 11 sports, wrestling being one of those. What can we as a wrestling community, or anyone that's listening to this, what can we do to maybe help get Stanford wrestling reinstated? Is that even going to be possible? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really complicated question to answer. And, you know, I'm in a unique position as a Stanford wrestling alumni who's very passionate about the program and the success of the student athletes who go there. And also being a college athletics administrator in charge of the finances of a college athletic department who, you know, I acutely understand the financial challenges facing athletic departments right now. And so, you know, I would say I was shocked at the decision, but not surprised knowing the financial challenges that universities face right now. And unfortunately, that sometimes means reduction in sports. You know, nevertheless, I think, you know, if finances are, you know, one of the key reasons in dropping sports, then, you know, then finances are one of the ways that we can bring it back. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting that people on this call should give to Stanford Wrestling or bring Stanford, you know, keep Stanford Wrestling campaign. Well, although if you want to, you can. You know, I think the way that you guys can specifically support Stanford is, I think there's a change.com petition. I think public opinion is really important. I think support of wrestling and the wrestling program is important. If you feel compelled to write a letter as to what, you know, wrestling has done for your life and how it impacts you in a respectful way, I think that's important. I think those are some of the ways, you know, there's a group of former wrestlers and supporters who are, you know, figuring out what we can do. You know, I think Stanford probably went through a logical and rigorous process to come to the decision that 11 sports, including wrestling, should be dropped. I think it's our job to find a better solution. Just because someone came to a logical, good solution doesn't mean there's not a better one out there. And, you know, I respect the administrators at Stanford. I know them very well, in fact, who made that decision. And like I said, I'm sure based on the information they had, it was a good one. And, you know, if we want to bring back the program, we have to come with a better solution. And so, it's on us to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, nice. So something I'm a big believer in. I mean, don't bring us a problem unless you are working on some sort of solution. So as a community, hopefully that's something we can come together and do as a wrestling community. And I know for me, I'm a huge Stanford wrestling fan, and wasn't prior to you going there. But once you went there, then, you know, I developed a relationship with Coach McCoy as well, you know, and then ever since then, even when he left and went to Maryland, if I see somebody rocking that Stanford Cardinal singlet, I'm cheering for him. You know, so again, hopefully it's something we can do. Now, I want to ask you about your faith in a minute, but before we jump into your faith, I'm big into fitness. I'm big into health and nutrition, those type of things. I know you are as well. So just give me a couple of your tips, secrets, suggestions for anyone listening. How does somebody maintain high fitness levels? What are the things that you do?
Number one thing to me is consistency. I'll start by saying I believe in rest days, and you got to figure out how your fitness plan works the best for you. But I probably exercise 350 days out of 365 days a year. And it doesn't have to be anything complex. I rarely work out for more than 30 minutes. But it's just about consistency and discipline and getting that in. For me, it works best at the start of the day. I think there's probably science behind the fact that getting your metabolism going early on helps you with your fitness throughout the day. For me, doing my fitness work in the morning provides me with a number of things. One, it gets my metabolism going. Two, it wakes me up. Three, it's the one time where I'm fully undistracted. I don't listen to music. I like to work out with people sometimes, but I tend to like to do it on my own because, you know, I have two kids, a wife, great family, very demanding job. And so I rarely get time to myself. And that's the one time during my day when I can get time to myself. So it's my time to think, it's my time to pray. It's my time to just be by myself and be. And so I think there are physical benefits to that exercise. I think there are mental benefits. I think there are spiritual benefits. So it's consistency and discipline. I think that's a number one thing. I mean, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't say that I have, you know, I'm blessed with good genetics too. I have a small family and I have a high metabolism naturally. And so I think that's part of it. But, you know, I think at the same time, I think if anyone worked out 350 days a year, then they would probably be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, consistency is huge. I often, I'm the same way as you. I probably work out 350 days a year and short, highly intense workouts. But I can tell you that when I'm working out or if I'm cutting the grass, if I'm doing almost anything physical and I'm getting out, I'm moving, I'm sweating, there's a lot of mental clarity that happens during that time. And like you said, your spiritual connection too. So for me, it's always been, that's a time where I feel like I can pray and not only pray, but I can also kind of hear from God. I can sit back and listen a little bit. And yeah, so you're right on. There's all kinds of great benefits there. And being a man who's married and having four children, I fully understand that.
You get it even more than me.
Yeah. So I 100% get that. So, all right, now I want to tie in your faith because you are a man who believes in Jesus. You don't just talk the talk. You walk the walk as well. How do you take everything that you're doing, right, from being husband, dad, businessman, all these things, and not take your faith and set it in a box or set it aside, but literally weave it into all that you do?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for me, it starts with being right with the Lord myself. And I think, you know, if I'm not in a right place with the Lord, then it's hard for me to be a good husband, a good father, a good leader, a good friend, a good family member. I think all these things are hard. And so, it's really important for me that I start back to my routine in the morning. If anyone wants to kill me, they could probably do it pretty easy because I do the same things pretty much every day and every morning. You could find me. I hope no one wants to, but if you want to, you could certainly find me. I think that's an important part of my daily discipline is, getting right with God, a time of prayer, time of reading, time of reading the word, time of confession. I think all these things are good, and they're the ways that, I learn how to inform how I live my life. And so I think that is the primary thing as to how I hold it together. I think, the second thing that I would mention is community. I think living life in isolation, whether you're Christian, not Christian, religious, not religious, is a really bad way to live. And so I think, I firmly believe in the importance of surrounding yourself with people, who are going to encourage you, who are going to lift you up, who are going to hold you accountable. I'm fortunate to have a lot of friends around here, in Houston and that I've, met along the way that'll do that for me. I think there's no better way to grow than to have mirrors around you, because it's hard to evaluate yourself. I think that's, community is something that's imperative to me. So being right with the Lord and community, I think, those are the ways that, you know, I can live a life that, you know, the Lord would want me to live.
Yeah. I like the way you said that, man. Mirrors around you. That's good. That's good. I'm going to put that in my, put that mentally, store that away. And I'm going to put it in my notes here in a little bit as well. So now, just because I love to study high performers, and you are literally a high performer. So, you know, you talked about working out in the morning and those things. Just take me through, because I believe in routines. I'm the same as you, right? I'm very, very habitual in the things that I do. So just kind of take me through your routine real quick. A daily routine in the life.
Yeah. I'll try to generalize things as much as I can and not be too detailed, but, you know, I wake up somewhere in the 5 to 6 a.m. range, hopefully before anyone else in my house is up. That's not always the case when you have young kids. And like I said, I start the coffee. I'm a big coffee drinker. I love coffee. And then I get going on my workout for the day, whether that's running, whether that's lifting, whether that's biking. You know, I pound the pavement, get my 30 minutes of workout in, come home, hope the kids aren't up, get my cup of coffee, get some water. And I like to either sit in the garage or sit in the kitchen. And, you know, if I haven't done it on my workout, spend a little time in prayer. And then kind of there's a series of things that I read every morning. I read the Bible. I read the local newspaper. I read the D1 ticker, which is a daily digest of sports business news. And then I usually check my email and respond to messages. So, you know, that happens in usually all that happens in a 90-minute period. After that, I'll go and help get my kids up, drop them off at school, get into work somewhere in the 7:30 to 8 timeframe. You know, work throughout the day. I'm not much to take lunch for work, take lunch while I'm at work. I like to work through lunch. I want to, that's not necessarily best practice. That's just how I live my day. You know, wrap up work in the, you know, 6 to 7 PM timeframe, depending on if I pick up the kids or not, get home, spend time with my family. One thing I'm really working on right now is doing that in a way where I don't use my technology. My wife would tell you that I have an addiction to my phone. So I'm trying to rid myself of that, or at least when I'm around my kids to get rid of that. We usually put our kids to bed about 8 o'clock, and, I usually log back on, do a couple more hours of work, and I'm in bed, hopefully before 11, but sometime in the 10 p.m. to midnight time frame. And if you follow me on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, then probably 90% of the time, that'll be what my day looks like.
Yeah, well, that's good, because I think a lot of people want to improve, and they don't know exactly how to plan out their day. They don't know what habits to incorporate. Or maybe they do, but there's some that they can hear right there that they can add in, right? So there's, and my wife would say the same thing. That is, I think for all of us, or not all of us, I can't generalize like that, but for many of us, the phone or technology in general is definitely an addiction, and especially if it becomes part of your work and, you know, what you use for that. So yeah, so I get it 100%, and it's beneficial, and we should be able to set it down and spend time, dedicated time with our family and with our wife. But yeah, I do the same thing, man. So I'm on the same struggle bus there.
We can hold each other accountable to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, we'll be checking in with each other to do that. So, all right, Tanner, man, as we get ready to wrap this up, I want to do this, and I'm going to let you choose. Okay. So we call these the three H's, but you get to pick which one. Tell me briefly about a hero, a heartbreak, or a highlight in your life. And then expound upon that a little bit. So it could be someone who was a hero to you, something that was a heartbreak you learned from, or some sort of highlight that was just awesome we need to hear about.
Well, there are a lot of all those in my life. But I mean, I think, you know, on one hand, I've been really successful. I've been fortunate to be successful in life. On the other hand, I've had a lot of heartbreaks. And I think those are the times. Those are forks in the road for you. And, you know, I think of the word grit a lot when I think of heartbreaks. Grit is, you know, when you get knocked down, getting back up, it's working hard despite hard circumstances. It's persevering. And I think, you know, my response to heartbreaks has really informed many of my successes in life. Obviously, we talked about one of them early in this podcast, getting cut from the basketball team. That was a heartbreak for me, right? You want to be a cool kid, so you think you want to be on the basketball team. And I was rejected. But I used that heartbreak. I had some grit, and I was fortunate to have people around me who helped me get past that. Just to point to some other heartbreaks, my sophomore year at the Kansas State tournament, I got crushed in the semifinals by a guy named Devin Schwartz from Great Bend. And I think he might have made your decision. In fact, it wasn't close, I'll tell you that. And that was a heartbreak for me. I came in, I expected I was going to win the state title, and I didn't. But after that match, I said, I'm never losing to that guy again. And I said, I'm never going to lose in high school again. And I didn't. I beat him the next year or the following year. I can't remember which one it was. And I didn't lose another match in high school. After my freshman year of college, I went 0-2 at the NCAA wrestling tournament. I said, I'm not coming back to the NCAA wrestling tournament without earning All-American status. That was a heartbreak for me. And so I put myself to work, and I said, I'm going to figure out a way to make that happen. And I worked tirelessly to make sure that it didn't happen again. And I was fortunate to achieve 3 All-American honors. In my professional life, I had the fortune of getting a job at a good company for an internship, and it was a 10-week internship. And halfway through the internship, my manager sat me down and said, you're not doing a good job. You're working hard, but you're not doing a very good. And here are the things that you're not doing well. If you don't improve, you will not get a full-time offer. And so that was a heartbreak for me. I felt rejected. And so what did I do? I took exactly what they told me I needed to work on, and I focused in and I worked hard and fixed those things. And I ended up getting a full-time job offer and ended up working at that company for 6 years. I think your heartbreaks, while not always going to be the case, can also be stories of redemption and, you know, forks in the road where you can choose to let them keep you down and sulk in it, or you can choose to make a change. And I think there's so many analogies in life to those things I'd encourage people to take the heartbreaks and turn them into triumphs, because I think you can. You might not go on and become president of the United States if that's what you say you're going to do, but, you know, you might end up achieving something great in your own right. You don't have to be the president. You don't have to be CEO. You don't have to work for a college athletic department. You don't have to work for a high school program. I think, you know, be great in whatever you're doing. And I think that's what we're called to do in life. If you're a Christian, you know, we're called to be an excellent in all we do. And so wherever you are, be excellent. And you're going to have heartbreaks along the way. But, you know, kind of the outcome of your life will be determined how you respond to those heartbreaks, not what heartbreaks you have.
Yeah, man, that's powerful. I don't know why I got a little bit emotional when you were talking right there, because, we've all been through some heartbreaks, but being able to take that, I love a redemption story. I think we all do, right? We like to watch movies and see those redemption stories. And the way you laid it out like that, man, I could 100% feel the heartbreak and the redemption. I know you've known you for a long time, and I got to watch you go through those things and then turn it around and just thrive. But I know what it took to thrive as well. So anyway, Tanner, man, thanks for being on. Such a blessing. And, you know, I'm glad that all those years ago, 20 some years ago, God allowed our paths to cross and our relationship to continue strong. And I just want to tell you, I'm proud of you, man. Love you. I'm proud of you. And thanks for all you did for the Shawnee Heights Wrestling Program, what you continue to do for us. You set a standard a long time ago. You care for our program like you care about Stanford's program, and I truly appreciate that.
But I'm honored to be on here. I'm thankful for what you're doing in many spheres of life. The wrestling program, living for the Lord, this podcast. I mean, I think, you know, life's about, you know, paying it forward, and you're doing that in a big way. And I love seeing it. I'm thankful to count you as a friend. I love you too, Coach P.
Yeah. All right, Tanner. Well, this has been Tanner Gardner. And I tell you what, man, if you're listening to this, take it and share it with somebody you know in your life who wants to push themselves, wants to strive to be greater. Any athletes that you know out there. But really, man, the things that Tanner just talked about, these apply in every single area. Again, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Love y'all. And until next time, peace. Hey, before you go, human performance is one of my passions, right? So my degree is actually in health and human performance. But I'm a big believer in eating well, exercise, and great supplementation. So I want to tell you about my favorite company to achieve human performance. That is X Endurance. And if you're interested, you can go and find the link in this episode. But X Endurance is a phenomenal supplementational company. All right. So if you're looking for energy, mental focus, overall physical performance, we have products for that, right? So we have Focus. We have Immune Boost, which is a great multivitamin, omega and D3 products. So if you're looking for fitness, wellness, weight loss, maybe just a great protein supplement to be able to use for post-workout, or maybe to supplement in between meals or even as a breakfast, right? I love to make protein shakes and put bananas and chia seeds and almond milk or coconut milk and fruit, blueberries, strawberries, all these things in to make great shakes. X Endurance is a company I use. All their products have been tested by Informed Choice, Informed Sport, and so testing for banned substances, and to make sure that what they say is in there is actually in there. This is a great company, and for me, someone who is sort of a little bit of a biohacker, right, always trying to find the best way to help my body train and recover, the products that I trust for supplementation are X Endurance. Again, you can go to the notes in this episode. You can find that there. Whatever your fitness goal is, click on the link. You can go there and, you know, fill out just a quick little survey of information. It'll tell you what supplements will help you best meet your goals. All right, guys. X Endurance, my favorite company, and I'm out. Peace.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.